Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today we're going to be in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and we're going to look at the first couple of commandments in the Ten Commandments. And the thought for today's message is, do you have the Lord in the back seat? And that might sound like a strange question to you, but What the question boils down to is, are you the one trying to drive and you have the Lord in the back seat? For I have to say that that's been very true in parts of my life, and it's probably most likely been very true in most Christians' lives. Because we have to get to the point where when Jesus was going around and he was getting the 12 disciples, and he simply said, follow me. For the Lord is the driver. He is the conductor. We are the ones that are to follow. But knowing that concept of we are to follow and actually putting it into practice can sometimes be a difficult task. That's where our love for the Lord has to be stronger than anything, for that our relationship with the Lord must take priority over everything. But as we look in Exodus chapter 20, and it says, and God spake all these words saying, and in verse 2, the Lord identifies himself as who he is, and what he has done for the nation of Israel. He says, I am the Lord thy God. Now you have to keep in mind that Israel, the Hebrews, had came out of a very pagan, idol-worshipping nation in Egypt. And the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God. Meaning, there's no other gods except for me. He says, I am the Lord thy God, and here is what I have done for you, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, we have to keep in mind that the Hebrews were in Egypt for 440 years. And the Lord heard their cry. And by a strong hand, he delivered the Hebrews out of Egypt. It was by no other's hand except for the Lord God Almighty. And it says that he brought them out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, which is a reference to out of the rule of Pharaoh, because Pharaoh was oppressing them. He was oppressing them, making them work harder, making them go out and gather their own straw. But they had to meet the same quota of bricks and all this. And he oppressed and he oppressed and he oppressed. And the Lord saying, I am the God that brought you out of Egypt and brought you out of that house of bondage. Born again Christian, have we forgotten that the Lord God Almighty and only the Lord God Almighty is the one that saved our souls, the one that broke the bondage of sin in our life, the dominion of Satan over our life? Have we forgotten that? Do we take it for granted? For see, a lot of times when we forget that, or if we take it for granted, a lot of times that's where we have put the Lord in the back seat. He's no longer driving. He's no longer conducting our life. We appear on the outside that we're serving God, but we're really the ones calling the shots. We're really the ones making the calls, and we're truly not following him. But see, how often do we take the time to take a step back and thank God for his grace? Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his protection. Thank God for his sovereign hand. For he is the God that has delivered us from a devil's hell, from eternal separation from us. He is the God that came and lived a perfect life and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary so that you and I, if we would just simply believe on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we could be saved. He is that God. And how often do we take the time to call a timeout in life and take a step back and truly thank God for what he has done in our life and realize that he truly is the conductor of our life. He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. He is the one in charge. We are the ones that should be in the back seat following him. But see, after the Lord identifies himself that I am the Lord thy God, and Israel, this is what I've done for you. And friends, you and I need to stop and be still and realize who is God and really take a deep, heartfelt appreciation for what he has truly done for you in your life. And then he says, in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, that's the very first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you notice that gods is lowercase, and it's also plural. In other words, these gods that these people in the land of Canaan, where I'm leading you to, and where I brought you from out of Egypt, these are hollow gods. These are dead gods. These are useless gods. These gods can do nothing for you, absolutely nothing for you. They cannot deliver you out of your bondage. They cannot deliver you out of your sin. They cannot do anything, for they're completely hollow. They're completely useless. But I am the true and the living God. And he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You might say, well, Joel, I don't have any other gods. I go to church. I attend Sunday school. I go to choir practice. I do these things. But that does not mean that you don't have anything before the one true living God. So we have to stop and ask ourselves, what dominates our thoughts? What dominates the conversations that we have with people? If we really take a step back and look and really think about what dominates our thoughts, what do we think about the most? What do we ponder on the most? What do we talk about the most? That's almost like looking in our checkbook registry to see where our money's going. If we'll take a step back and look and see where our money's going, we'll see sometimes what our God is. And if we think about what dominates our thoughts, what we ponder on the most, what we talk about the most, if we really stop and think about it, that may well identify what our true God truly is. Now, we might occupy a pew every time the church doors are open, but that does not mean that we have the one true living God first and foremost in our life. But we have to go back to verse 1, that he is the God that has delivered Israel out of the land of Egypt. He is the God that will deliver us out of this world one day. He said, where I go to prepare a place for you, and the place I'm preparing for you is there is many mansions there, and where I go, there I will receive you unto myself. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He will take us out of this world, and he is the one that will deliver us out of this house of bondage. And because of that, we should not have any other thing before God. Now, a lot of times we want to equate this of Old Testament times where they had tangible idols. And that's leading into verse 4. Where in verse 4 it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Now, we want to equate other gods to these tangible idols that were worshipped in the Old Testament. Well, friends, we have in this world, we have a lot of what would be called intangible items. You can't physically touch it, but a lot of times we get so caught up with our social standing. We get so caught up with our title at work, with our career, where we're at on the ladder. You know, have we been promoted to that managerial position yet? And a lot of times in our haste to do these things and being accepted by our peers, we can't physically put our hands on these things. But when we become obsessed with these things, the Lord tends to take a back seat in our life, and we're the ones that start to be, if you will, driving the car rather than letting the Lord conduct things. And we're the ones thinking that we can make the calls, that we're in control, but in reality we are not in control. It is by His grace and it is by His mercy that we are where we are, and we need to be able to take a step back and realize and understand that and appreciate that and say, Lord, forgive me, for I have put things ahead of you. Lord, I have put my desires ahead of you. Lord, I have put my wants ahead of you. Lord, I have let my acceptance of other people, I have put that ahead of you. I have put the money, the salary that I'm trying to make in my life, Lord, I put that ahead of you. Lord, I put my social status ahead of you. I've put these things ahead of you. But Lord, please forgive me of these things. I put these things aside, Lord. I'm going to swap seats with you, Lord. I'm going to get in the back seat, Lord. You're going to drive. And Lord, I will just simply follow you. And friends, until we realize and until we understand that we're not the co-pilot, we're not even to be in the passenger seat in the front seat, we're to be in the back seat. We are to let the Lord lead and guide us and follow Him wherever He leads us, and to walk in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And if we'll learn to do that, friends, we'll have more victory in our life. We'll have more peace in our life. We'll have more satisfaction in our life. But until we humble ourselves and realize and understand that I am not in charge, I am the one that needs to be in the back seat, and I need to humble myself and just follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says in verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, meaning the idols. Now, how many times do we bow down to things in this life? It might not be something that we can physically see. It might be peer pressure. It might be social pressure. It might be things like that, that we bow down and then we put the Lord in the back seat. Until we learn to honor and praise our Lord and Savior, regardless of the circumstance that we're in our life, we're not going to have the victory that we need to have. He needs to be first and foremost in every part of our life. And friends, that's a lesson that we all need to learn. That's a lesson that we all need to take to heart. And that's a lesson that we all need to very much apply to our lives. And as I look, my time is up. I hope this message has been a help to you. Until next week, this is Joel Martin.